Again, welcome you and thank you for being here with us on this very special day. I invite you please to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and we are looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. We have gathered here today and so grateful that you have come to celebrate this grand opening of our new worship center here at Lubumbe. The reality is there are many churches in our city. What, if anything, is different about this one? I mean, what do you see when you look around at Kitwe Church? I mean, just look around. What do you see? I mean, some might look around and see a whole bunch of white people. And ask, so, are you guys about one particular ethnicity? Or some might look at Kitwe Church and look up and around and see all that God has done and say, man, is this church about money? I mean, after all, look at this building and all that's been accomplished over the past 6 months. And you might be asking yourself, so are you people all about wealth and kind of getting the economic advantage? So, you know, if we all just like roll into Kitwe Church, we can connect with people, you know, and we can get somewhere in life. Is that what you people are about? Some of you might look at Kitwe Church and see a traditional church. You might be thinking, so clearly you people are not Pentecostal. So do you guys believe in the Holy Spirit or not? A lot of questions. This morning I want to invite you on a short journey in Scripture. I want you to follow me, and I'm going to show you the secret. I'm going to give you the insider info on who we are and what we are about at Kitwe Church. But before I do that, let me just tell you what we are not about. We are not about poverty alleviation. Though if you get what we are about, you actually may learn principles for success in business. We are not about social programs. Although if you get what we are about, you will certainly make an impact on this society in which we live. We're not about politics. Though if you get what we are about, it will make you a better citizen, and if you're here and a politician, it'll make you a better politician. We are not about some powerful man of God. Though if you get what we are about, you will become a man and a woman of God. Recently, I was in Lusaka, and I had the opportunity to drive down past the army barracks on one side, and on the left is the main entrance to State House. And there, standing at attention in full regalia with automatic weapons are these soldiers. They look very smart, and they are manning the gate to State House. They are armed. They are prepared. And I would assume that if you tried to bolt through those front gates, they are dangerous. They are stationed there not for their good looks. They are stationed there not because that's what we do. It's not about the tradition, although there is a tradition to that. They are stationed there to guard the president of the Republic of Zambia with their very life. They have a purpose. And while all of Lusaka bustles around them, and while people pass, and while police sirens scream off to deal with some issue down that way, and while ambulances can be heard in the distance rushing off people who are dying to the hospital, those men have been given a specific task, and they have a specific purpose, and their purpose is to guard the entrance and the access to State House. We at Kitwe Church are about one thing. It's very uncomplicated. We're about one thing. We have been entrusted with the gospel. Now, I invite you to follow along with me, and you will discover what we mean when we talk about the core purpose of Kitwe Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to a church like ours in this ancient city of Corinth. In fact, the ancient city of Corinth was about the same size as Kitwe is today. It's about 700,000 people of this day. It was a very intellectual city. It was a very advanced city. It was a very wealthy city. There was a lot of commerce going on in this city, and it was a very religious city in the ancient day. All the various nationalities and all the different gods of the Greco-Roman world were worshipped in this city. And there were many temples that had been built to those deities. Paul here is writing to this church, this called out assembly of people. And he says to them, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now you might say, that is really odd. "And I was with you," Paul said, "in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Father, we are coming into this text, and we acknowledge that this is the living Word of God. This Word that we have read was given directly from God by divine inspiration, and it is profitable for us for doctrine, for correction, for instruction. And so we ask you, Spirit of God, in these next 20 minutes or so, to guide us through this text, to help us to understand what is being said, and then would you apply the truth to our own hearts, meet our individual needs, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Three things. Entrusted with the gospel, the core purpose of Kitwe Church. Notice in verse 1, are we together? Look at verse number 1. Notice that we have been entrusted with a divine message. Do you see that? Look what it says. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." You see, Paul recognized that he had a message that came directly from God. He was not going to make this message about himself. This message was delivered from God to man. 1 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy of the Scripture was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." He didn't make this a message about a man. He also didn't make this a message about the culture of Corinth. It wasn't about Corinth. And he says, "I determined I was not going to come and proclaim this message of God with lofty speech or wisdom," this wisdom of the ancient philosophers. You see, in this message that Paul is delivering, it's a message of beautiful simplicity. So simple that even a child can understand it. By the way, we love children at Kitwe Church. I mean, adults are like, eh. But kids, we love kids at Kitwe Church. I mean, bring your kids. If they make noise, it's no problem. If they run around, we'll sort it out. Don't worry. They're welcome here. Why? Because this gospel is so simple that even a little child can understand it. And yet, it is so profound that the wise men of the culture of the Corinthians actually rejected it. They considered it foolishness. Chapter 1 and verse 18 says that they considered this word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, this we've been entrusted with a divine message, and Paul recognized this message was from God. He also recognized that this message was a testimony about God. You know what? There are many religions in the world. We all know this. This isn't news this morning. There are many religions in the world. There were many religions in the city of Corinth. But you see, in the city of Corinth, in the day that this was being written, the gods of Corinth were sensual gods. Our God is a holy God. Our God is the God who defines what is right and what is wrong. We do not get the opportunity to determine if this is good. I hear people say all the time, well, this is good for me. Guess what? On judgment day, you don't get to be the standard. God is the standard. His righteousness, His standard of holiness will be the standard by which all mankind will be compared. Their God was a sensual God. Our God is a holy God. Isaiah 5:16, the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows Himself holy in righteousness. These gods of the ancient day, they were distant gods. You know, God exists, but He's just somewhere. But the Bible tells us that our God is a God who is present. He is everywhere present all the time. The psalmist said, "Where can I run to get away from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" And the answer to that question was, there's nowhere. God is everywhere present. This is a message about this God. Their God was, in some ways, a powerless God. But our God is a powerful, sovereign God. He is able to do what He says. He can soften the hardest heart, and He can call and redeem the lowest sinner unto Himself. Job, in the book of Job, it is recorded that about God that He is unchangeable. Who can turn Him back? That which He desires, He will do. Their God was a selfish God. But our God is a giving God. Chapter 1 and verse number 30 says, "Because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Our God is a giving God. Their God was a vindictive God. You never really knew about those ancient Greek gods what they might do to you if they became displeased. But our God is a loving God who compassionately cares and forgives. 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God. Here's the phrase, because God is love. You see, the wisdom of this world cannot comprehend the reality of God. In other words, you cannot find God through philosophy and through education and through stacking up degrees upon degrees. This is divine wisdom. It cannot be understood by the application of human wisdom and reason alone. It is intellectual. It does not bypass the mind, and yet it cannot be appropriated by the mind alone. Why? Because this is the wisdom of God, and it is discerned spiritually, not by human means or methods. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 puts it this way, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are absolute foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they can be understood spiritually, or they are spiritually discerned. You see, man has long sought to create God in our image. In other words, we don't really want a God who sets a standard for us to follow.
We really want to just redefine God until he's just this nice, warm teddy bear. Some refer to him as the man upstairs. We just want kind of like the old Santa Claus looking neighbor who lives upstairs that we can pop in on once in a while when we need a bit of comfort. This is not the God that Paul is speaking of. This is not the God we serve. He defines himself, he reveals himself to us. So we are entrusted with this divine message. It is a message from God, and it's a message about God. But secondly, notice verse 2. And this really is the core. Paul says, "For I decided to know nothing else among you except..." When I came to the city of Corinth, and when I decided what was going to happen there, I decided to know nothing other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, this is a message about a person. This is a message that is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1:4. Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, he is the very essence, the very nature of God himself. In fact, in his earthly ministry in John 10:30, he actually claimed that he and the Father were one. And the Jews were so upset because he claimed to be equal with God that they picked up stones to kill him. Jesus is God. He is declared to be the Son of God with power. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus was sent by the Father to fulfill the eternal purpose of God. And that's what we're about. This fulfillment of God's eternal purpose amongst men. It says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons." Maybe I could sum it this way. You see, we are entrusted here at Kitwe Church with a single message. It's a message about a person named Jesus Christ. It's a singular message. Acts 4:12 says this: "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus." Listen, there's not two ways to heaven. There's not seven ways to heaven. There is one way to God, and that way is through Jesus Christ alone. You will come through the gate, and the gate is Jesus. You will come along the way, and the way is Jesus. You must know the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And no one, doesn't matter how educated I am, doesn't matter how wealthy I am, doesn't matter where I was born in the world, doesn't matter my ethnic background, it doesn't matter any of those things. No one will come to the Father in heaven except through Jesus Christ. No one. This is an exclusive message because God is an exclusive God. All may come. "For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." In other words, it's not restricted to an age or a gender or an ethnicity. This is a message. This is a global message for all people. All may come to Jesus, but there's only one way you can come to him. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. There is one road that leads to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. You will either come through Jesus Christ, or you will not come to the Father. This is what Paul is saying. "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's a message about a person, but I think in verse number 2, we can clearly see it's a message that brings about God's purpose. You see, this is a message that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. And you might be here this morning saying, "Man, I really don't get this whole cross thing. I really don't get this whole thing about some guy 2,000 years ago, being executed as a criminal on a cross. I mean, what's the big deal about a cross? There's nothing magical about a piece of wood. I mean, there are people who wear crosses around. They live like Satan all week, but wear a cross around their neck thinking it'll bring them good luck. I mean, that's voodoo. That's witchcraft. I mean, that's not what the cross is about. It's not like there's something magical about a cross. You see, the cross is what it represented. God had foreordained that the means by which you and I would come into a living relationship of love with himself was through the cross of Jesus Christ. You say, why? Well, let me explain that to you. You see, Christ, listen, for those of you, and I know we have friends in our city, and they really don't get what Christianity really is. They just think, it's just another religion like all the rest of them. And if it's good for you, it's good for you. No, no, no. You see, at the very heart of Christianity is Christ crucified. Christ crucified is the foundational message of Christianity. It is the starting point for everything else you must know about God. Listen, at Kitwe Church, we do not have a message of prosperity. We don't have a message of prosperity. If you read your New Testament, sometimes, and in fact, a lot of times, the apostle says, if you come to Jesus, you're going to suffer. Sign up for suffering. Come to Jesus. Well, that doesn't sell. So we have churches all over our city who says, come to Jesus. He'll give you money. And you hear your sickness. No, in the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I mean, the message that's being preached in many places is not the message of this book. You see, this is not a message of prosperity. We don't have a message that says your temporary problems will be solved. We don't have a message that elevates the messenger to a cult-like status. Why the message of the cross? This is kind of like the big kaboom, right? Why does Paul say, listen, people, I came all the way to your city, and when I got there, I had one message. And I determined I was not going to be sidelined in philosophy and in words of wisdom. I was not gonna capitulate to the culture. I was not gonna make it about a man. I have one singular message, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, look, I'm not asking you if you believe this. But I'm going to explain to you the heart of Christianity. You want to know what makes someone a Christian or not a Christian in a sense that God recognizes? Here it is. Why the cross? Why does Paul say, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified? All right, here we go. I'm going to give you the reasons. Number one, because every single person alive today fails to meet God's standard of righteousness, everyone. If the standard by which all humankind will be judged is the righteousness of God, and anything less than God's righteousness is sin, then all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number two, because the result of our sin is death. Look, I don't have to convince any of you people of that today. We all know that we're doomed. We all know that we're a step from the grave. We all know that even if we get to live to be very, very old, say even 100, ultimately, these bodies are going to die. Why? Why are our bodies going to die? Because we have been contaminated with this infection of sin. It's the result of our sin is death. To be eternally separated from God in a place of everlasting punishment that was originally prepared for Satan and his angels. Listen to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Why the message of the cross? Because every single person alive today has sinned, and the result of our sin is death. And number three, because justice demands the penalty be paid. Now listen. You say, but God is a God of love. He would never send anyone to hell. God is a God of love, and he's a God of justice. In his love, he prepared and presents to you a pathway to meet the demands of his justice. This is what the cross is about. You see, God's justice demands the penalty be paid. This is why Jesus came. This is why God descended from heaven, took the form of a man in the person of Jesus Christ, took human form, so that he could provide a substitute who could legally take our punishment and satisfy the justice of God's law. Because God is faithful and true. He's just. And he says, the wages of your sin is death, eternal separation from God. So he's just on one side, and he's loving on the other. So how does it work? Because if God says, let my love trump my justice, my holiness, it's okay. You people can just live like any way you want. It's all right. Forget the standard. Do what you want. I love you. I'll just let you off the hook. He would no longer be just. If he's no longer just, he's no longer God. If he's not God, we might as well go worship the Greco-Roman gods of the ancient day. Our God ceases to be God if he fails in any of his attributes. So what does he do? He plans a way by which he can both be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. So he comes to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who lives a sinless life, who is then taken to the cross where he dies. What was the wages of sin? Do you remember? Death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus comes as a substitute, and he offers himself up as a sacrifice. He dies for the sins of Phil and for your sins. And that sacrifice for sin is acceptable payment for God's justice. So that anyone in any generation, in any place, who will put their faith in what Jesus has done for them, they can experience the forgiveness and love of God. You see, this is the central message of Christianity. Because why the message of the cross? Because every single person alive has sinned. The result of our sin is death. Because justice demands the penalty be paid. The cross was motivated by justice and love. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And because this sacrifice that Jesus made was completed and accepted by God the Father. So whoever will hear this wonderful news, we call it the gospel, the good news, and will believe it and will receive it, by submitting themselves to God as needy, helpless sinners, they will be forgiven and made righteous through Christ. I want you to listen to this. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 21. Listen to what Scripture says. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested. How is the righteousness of God revealed? Well, it's apart from the law. So you can't get this righteousness by keeping the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Look at verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a covering by his blood to be received. How? By faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, the only reason that any of us are still alive today is because God is forbearing with us. Because justice would demand the first sin I ever did when I was like 2 days old, probably, or however old I was, my first sin, God would have, boom, sent me to hell right then. But what does he do? He forbears with me year after year after year after year. He forbears with my wickedness. He forbears with my rebellion. He forbears with my sin. And he offers me his grace. He offers me his forgiveness. He says, whosoever will may come. But there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Verse 26, and it was to show his righteousness in the present time. So that he might be the just, he can still be holy and just and still justify, declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. And so Paul says here in our text, so I decided that I would know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3 through 5, as I conclude, he says to them, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, he entrusted us not only with a divine message, not only with a singular message, but he entrusted us with a powerful message. This is the message of the cross. It is the message of Christ that produces faith in those who hear it. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. This is a life-changing message. It will transform your life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And number three, it's an eternity-securing message. Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. You see, in verse 1, we learned that God the Father planned salvation. In verse 2, God the Son purchased salvation. And verses 3 through 5, the Holy Spirit powerfully applies salvation to those who believe in Jesus. I want to read one last scripture and we close. Ephesians 1:13. In him, speaking of Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, this morning you have heard the word of truth. This wasn't the word of Phil Hunt. I hope you had your Bible. I hope you were following along. This is the word of God. This is the actual word of the living God. It came from heaven, from God to us. It's authoritative, right? So he says, in him you also, when you heard this word of truth, what is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, and believed. So notice what happened. The word came, you heard it, and you received it. It came, you all have heard it this morning, now we're at step three. You must receive it. If you've never received this word, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never received the gospel, it came to you, it was proclaimed to you, you've heard it. Number three, you must receive it. What does he say? And believed in him. Notice what happens. The moment that we believe in Jesus, look what it says. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know what it says? That the moment when it's proclaimed, when it comes to me, I hear it, I receive it by believing the message. At that moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and seals me. He protects me. He's going to deliver the package safely to God. He's going to see me through. He's going to present me holy before the Father one day. It's not about me. The Holy Spirit does that. He is the guarantee that one day we will be in heaven. Why? Because Scripture says in the 6th chapter that the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. One of the brothers were praying or mentioning in one of our songs that we are the temple. And when we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And one day He will come and He will take us to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are you trusting in this morning? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the wisdom of man? Or are you trusting in the power of God? If you will recognize that God has delivered you to truth this morning, if you will receive that truth for yourself by faith alone, God will free you from your sin and from your condemnation. He'll heap all of that on Jesus, and He will give you lasting forgiveness and life and peace. So repent. Turn from your sin and believe in Jesus. Heavenly Father, this is the message of Scripture. Everything else that we need to know, how to do business, how to have successful marriages, how to handle our finances, how to do all these things that afflict us. At the very center of it all, at the very core, this is Christianity. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just as Paul brought that gospel to Corinth, you have brought that gospel to us this morning. Just as those people who he then would call brothers, they were former pagans, but now he calls them brothers. Just as those people heard that message and believed it, they believed in Jesus, so we must hear that message and believe in Jesus. And when we believe, we thank you that we are sealed, that we are carried through this life and into the next to be safely delivered through the work of the Holy Spirit of God within us. I thank you for Kitwe Church. May this always be our core purpose. May we never get over the fact that you have entrusted us with this glorious gospel. May we be faithful with this gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.